everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Daryl Loomis in a wind tunnel. Possibly.
In a wind tunnel?
I don't know. There's a lot of external noise going on around you. I guess not. Maybe you're just breathing heavy. Did you, like, do a couple laps before you sat down for this podcast?
Well, I've been making calls this evening.
Okay. Understood.
But to address the audience, go Broncos.
Ah, that's right. Broncos and Seahawks.
Yeah. It's the dream matchup. Growing up in Oregon, family's all Seahawks fans.
That's right.
My brother's a huge Seahawks fan. And we were within a game of this in 2005 when the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl after the Broncos laid an egg against the Steelers, which the Steelers wound up winning that Super Bowl. So we were a game from this 8 years ago, my brother and I. It's what's important. And so the epic smack talk begins.
Good.
And, oh, it's
– Should be a good game. Unless it's crappy weather.
The crappy weather question is up in the air. I'd way rather be playing in a dome.
I think that, yeah, crappy weather heavily favors the Seahawks, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
So best offense versus best defense.
Yeah, pretty good. A dream matchup on paper, a dream matchup family style. So
good. All right. Good times.
Fun stuff.
Well, you have 2 weeks to really stick it in people's craw, I guess.
Yeah, I was hoping it wasn't. I was especially hoping that San Francisco would lose because I'm going to be in San Francisco on the day of the Super Bowl.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I especially didn't want to actually be in San Francisco to watch 49ers fans because there's nothing worse than a 49ers fan.
Really? Is that accurate? Even a Seahawks fan? Because those people are pretty crazy up there.
They're crazy, but they're not. I don't know how to say this. They are both thuggish and effete at the same time.
Interesting.
And they're the worst. They're basically the worst. So not they're not as much fun as Raiders fans, but they're equally prone to violence.
Right. All right, Jason. How about Jason Pinnell is here as well.
Hello.
Are you excited about football, Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera?
Is that the one with the net?
That is the one with the net, correct? And the little fire traps in the middle of the field.
Okay, thought so.
No, not really. Doesn't really.
I live near Pittsburgh, so it's kind of
Steeler country.
Yeah, it's Steelers country, and I grew up not. I was always the artsy kid and, never did a lot of sports, but on the same token, I don't dislike sports. If I see a game, I'll watch it and, usually enjoy it. But, I might tune in. I might not. We'll see.
I like that. I like that, Luke Warwick. So we've got Daryl on left who's going to be white knuckling it for these next 2 weeks, and Jason doesn't give a crap. I like it.
And you're somewhere in the middle because you like football, but you don't give a damn about the Broncos.
I don't know. Yeah, to be honest, I judge my sports fandom by what attire I will wear, right? Like, to me, that's when you're a fan. You will purchase money to wear the attire. And I only have New York Knicks memorabilia to wear, which I am embarrassed to wear because they suck so bad this season.
See, I will wear no attire.
Really? I mean, to me, that's the only – like, I think if you wear all kinds of attire, then you're a clown. But I think if you limit yourself, you're a fan. So, like, as – regionally,
attire in 20 years of any kind.
Okay. So you are not a fan of flair, then?
I'm not a fan of the flair. I'm a fan of the I can restrict my Denver Broncos fandom to my own head and not force other people to watch or to look at me parade around in some.
So, like, you're the beat John Malkovich of Denver Broncos, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I would say,
probably accurate.
Yeah. See, the good thing about living in New England is there's, like, we're kind of in the middle of a lot of, like, the sports teams are generally good except for the Celtics, but I hate the Celtics because I'm a Knicks fan. So, I can lament the Knicks, but still kind of, the Patriots are always competitive. The Bruins are good. The Red Sox won the World Series. So it's, like, kind of been a good stretch to move to New England where I can, kind of just soak in the success by these teams. Even though my heart lies with one team, really.
As a Knicks fan, how do you feel about the Nets?
I'm so disgusted with the Knicks season. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, if the Knicks were competitive and fun to watch and, like, well run, then that rivalry would mean something to me. But they are neither, and I've lost the fire.
Well, just I guess because growing up, because I had no necessary locational affiliations. I mean, I did locationally, but I never cared. I was a Knicks fan growing up because
oh, really?
I was a Patrick Ewing fan.
He's the man.
Because when I was young, playing basketball, the thing I liked to do best was block a shot back down somebody's throat.
I love it. Yeah, me too. It's great.
That's the greatest feeling in the world. And Patrick Ewing was always the best at that, in my opinion, growing up. And so he was always my favorite player, so I followed the Knicks. Didn't care necessarily about the Blazers or the Sonics or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I never felt like there was a rivalry. I don't remember feeling like there was a rivalry with the Nets.
No, not really. They were in Jersey for so long. They were good for a stretch, and they kind of offset when the Knicks were bad, you know, so they were really good and bad. Now that they're in Brooklyn, there's more of a rivalry, but it was heated last year. This year, both teams actually kind of sucked. So, I don't know.
Rivalries in basketball are a little different, I think, than in other sports, because I see the Mavericks all the time, and I don't really feel a strong rivalry with the Spurs.
I
don't know necessarily if the Lakers and the Clippers are sitting around gnawing at the bit to get at each other's throats.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely not like it was when the Knicks and Pacers, the Knicks and Heat, the Knicks and Bulls hated each other. Those were good
things. Yeah. Well, as you had a lot of jerks on those teams.
Oh, it was jerk-alicious. All right, I'm going to bring in Eric and Mac, too. We'll sidestep the filibuster sports.
We'll talk about movies again.
Yes. I'll get these clowns.
We still haven't even finished our introductions.
That's true. I already did. It's me, you, and Jason right now.
I guess so, and now we've got more.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the late guys here.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to let's see here. Let me get them added. Mac, Eric, so you can – here we go.
Sports news with Friday Filibuster.
Yes. Okay, we'll get them on board here and going on. So, yeah, sorry, Jason. I'll leave you to talk about Patrick Ewing.
Oh, you know, it's okay. I took a nap for a while, so.
Yeah, it's okay. But, hey, Pittsburgh's been doing okay with the Penguins and the Pirates there for a stretch, right?
Yeah, the Pirates, too. It's like, what, the first time in 20-some years. I remember as a kid, you know, really loving them, but it's been pretty pretty miserable for the last couple of decades until this past year.
Yeah, it's been brutal being a Pirate. I think their ownership just likes to pocket the revenue sharing and move on with their lives. So, anyway, Eric and Mac are joining us here as well. You just missed our bountiful sports talk, so.
Oh, darn.
Yeah,
no.
We'll move on from that. So, let's kick it off proper with stuff we've been doing in the world of entertainment. Daryl, why don't you go first?
Well, the one thing, and I think it might have actually have been ultimately Eric who got my mind back onto it, but I went ahead and gave American Horror Story a second chance.
first season or second season?
I've watched the first season. I've watched the first episode of the second season.
Okay.
So I knew what they had done now that they've gone, you know, now they've gone. But I watched about five or six of the episodes in the first season. I think I watched up until Elizabeth Smart came around. And then once that happened, I'm like, this is too much like True Blood. It's like throw everything at the screen at all times. But then I wound up giving another chance and working through it. And it's totally flawed, but a little bit headier viewing than True Blood and a little more enjoyable. I'm interested to see what they do in future when they change the whole story around. So we'll see.
Nice.
It's weirdly addictive. It's junk food. It's total junk food.
It's junk food, and I thought at the end, the last four or five episodes, because I wasn't paying attention to the episode number, I thought that maybe each of the last four or five was the final of the season. You know, I guess that's a lot of cliffhangers, but like you said, it's total junk food. It's there to keep you watching. So I guess it does on that level.
All right. Eric, we'll let you segue right off of that.
All right. So you haven't talked about any TV shows or anything
yet?
Oh,
no.
Just sports.
Okay. Just Pittsburgh Pirates,
mostly.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm sure not the only one who checked out the season premiere of Sherlock. the new third season.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Yes.
So check that out. Oh, yeah, Jason, of course. Yeah, we've talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we watched it last night on the computer. And I thought it was pretty good. I liked the way I think Jason and I, again, we talked a little bit about this off of the podcast, but a little lighter on kind of a mystery plot. You know, it wasn't necessarily a central mystery as much as other episodes, but I thought they did a really good job of bringing Sherlock back into the mix and reconciliation and reintroduction with Watson. And I really liked the way they handled the hows and whys of the ending of the last season.
Yes.
I thought they did a good job of kind of playing with it and sidestepping it. When the episode began and they started going through the scenario, I kind of rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, they didn't just do that. That's so lazy. And then, of course, they kind of pull it all back, and I thought they did a really smart job.
Yeah,
I thought
they did a good job with that. They let people speculate, to continue to speculate without, making it all seem completely implausible.
And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they never really
No, it hasn't been revealed yet. No.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I hope they never do. I mean,
they shouldn't. There's no reason to.
Yeah, they keep it vague.
Yeah, and I think it's, I think we've gotten to the point in TV where there's all this mystery stuff going on, and it happened with, Lost, and that was a show that certainly begged it, but we always want to know, like how people did stuff or what the answer is to all these questions. And I love the idea that Sherlock would say, it just happened. That's not important to the story. What's important is the characters and the mysteries. Let's just move on.
But there is an answer, because Stephen Moffat's been quoted about that.
Did he? Okay.
He's talked about clues that have been dropped and people are missing things. So I think you will see that answer
eventually.
I think it wasn't smoke and mirrors, I don't think, because I read quotes from Moffat saying, oh, people are getting close, but you're missing some things. So I think there's definitely a method.
And I appreciate that, but it's not a priority for me to find out for real. I have my own theory, and it works in my head, and it's good.
Honestly, at this point, if they were going to answer it in this episode, why ever answer it? I hope Moffat's just kind of trolling fans at this point, because but there's really no point in revealing the how. It's a TV show. He's really smart, and I think it's fine for them to get away with it.
I think you'll see at the end of the series. I think Cumberbatch had maybe mentioned that maybe in an interview, but. So I think you'll see it.
I don't know. We'll see, Dave. I don't want you to get set up for a Lost finale level of disappointment.
I just have a feeling. I understand where you're coming from. I just don't feel like that's what he's going for. I don't know.
That's fine. And that if they want to reveal it, I'd be interested to see. As long as it's satisfying and.
Right.
It can't possibly be satisfying. No matter what they come up with, it's going to disappoint people.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of just leaving the magic trick out there. But anyway, it was fun. I'm glad to have it back. As always, it's like all of a sudden we're a third of the way through the season, which is always kind of shocking. But I'm interested to see what happens next.
Mac, what do you got?
I've been doing some video gaming.
Yes.
And after several weeks of battling evil, I made it to the end of Batman Arkham Origins.
That's right. Yes,
and it's kind of been getting a bad reputation online, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I'd be tracking that down when it gets affordable for sure.
Yeah, it's the same quote unquote engine as Arkham City, and even a lot of the environments are the same. They just took the map and then they expanded on it. So I can kind of see why some people are complaining, because it's not something entirely new. It's kind of feels more like an expansion pack. But, all the combat is the same with all those crazy combos and whatnot. And even though it's his origin, he's still got all his gadgets that he developed in the previous games. So with just a few tweaks to the story, this didn't have to be an origin story, but I guess that's what sells. So they made it his origin. But basically, you're just running around Gotham City, just beating up crowds of thugs and occasionally running into a classic villain. And it was pretty good. I had a good time with it.
Very good. All right. Jason.
For the first time since 2012, I went to the movie theater.
Wow.
And yeah, I know, seriously. I got to see Frozen, which I think most of you guys saw and enjoyed. And I really liked it. Had a lot of fun. And we were my wife and I were the only people in the movie theater too for the showing. So I kept trying to pause the movie with like a remote, but that didn't work.
So you were able to be as profane as you wanted to then, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's. I think I just will echo. I think what most of you said. It was. I mean, the music was really good. I really liked the story. Animation was great. I think the only, and this is a really minor personal qualm, but I kind of wish there was some like cell animation because it was all computer stuff. I think, but that's just a personal preference.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe someday your wish will be granted.
Someday, maybe.
Maybe someday in 1993 your wish will be granted.
And Dave, I feel like I saw some headline online saying they were already working on the musical. So that we've.
Oh, I did see that.
As we've talked right. about it. It felt tailor-made. So,
built to be a musical, absolutely. Yeah, I saw the same thing. They pretty much wasted no time. In fact, it's probably going to be doing its test shows next week as far as
I know. And you know, why pussyfoot around?
That's right.
Go for it.
All the cards on the table here.
Shocking headline would have been if they weren't making a musical.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we will let this stand on its own as its own work and not touch it again. Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, well, let's see here. I've been watching a show on the History Channel called The Curse of Oak Island. Have you heard about this show? No, probably not. It grabbed me because when I was a young lad, I read some book about like crazy mystery, like some book of crazy unsolved mysteries, right? And one of them was this book about Oak Island, which is an island up in way up in Canada. And there's in the late 1800s, some people stumbled upon this pit, and it looked like they found some planks of wood, and they kept digging and digging, and they went 100 feet down with all these planks of wood. And it was called the Money Pit. And they were thinking there was treasure at the bottom. And then they set up a booby trap that just filled with seawater. And, like, professional treasure hunters came and set up all this rigging. Like, six people died. And they never quite cracked the, what is this pit about? Why did someone dig 100 feet down with wooden planks equidistant from each other, blah, blah, blah. And I captured my imagination as a young kid. And here's this History Channel miniseries about these two brothers who, like, are trying to crack the case and excavate it and that. So I was like, wow, this is great. This is like, remember those Time Life books of the mysteries and unknown and stuff? Remember those? Something like that coming to the screen. So, but it's actually been pretty cool. It's actually kind of interesting. It went a little off the rails this last episode with some talks of demonic possession here and there. So it's a little too corny. Yeah, stick with the engineering. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say the engineering. They we don't know what the treasure is. That people are saying, oh, the Knights Templar, of course, they're always roped into this stuff. So, potentially the Ark of the Covenant is buried under this.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. So we'll see.
Now, I assume the brothers' names are Joe and Frank.
They are, so Joe and Frank, absolutely. Yeah, and I would say, and they've got a really great engineering student named Chet who's helping out.
Sure.
With
yeah.
they're doing great stuff. So I think they had to sell their 65 Mustang convertible to fund the. I'm down with it. So
cool.
Okay, that's stuff we got coming up for the site. Let's go back around the horn. Daryl, go.
Well, I got my stuff today, and I was interested to see. That I got a classic that I've never seen that I'm interested in seeing, so I have nothing to say about it because it's still in its packaging. But I will be, for the first time ever, watching In the Heat of the Night with Sidney Poitier and Rod Steiger.
Alrighty.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure it'll be okay.
Nice.
Ringing. I have nothing to say.
Excellent. No, that's good. Eric, what do you have?
Also got mine today, but I've seen a little bit of this. It's a TV show called Comedy Bang Bang.
Yes.
Which is first started as a podcast and also a Upright Citizens Brigade show, I think, in L.A. But it's a guy named Scott Aukerman is the host, and he brings various comedians on, and they do jokey interviews and characters. It's very funny. The podcast I listened to for a long time, and it's really good. And I watched the first few episodes of this show, and it's in the same vein. So it's good stuff.
All right. Mac?
Let's see, don't know how much interest there is in this. The History Channel, speaking of, took three of its old documentaries from like the 90s and the early 2000s about the subject of Frankenstein. They just put it together on this one DVD and they're just kind of throwing it out there. It's a cash grab, basically. But
I Frankenstein movie coming up?
Yeah, because I guess they're hoping that I Frankenstein is going to really explode into Star Wars level popularity and they're going to cash in on it.
Is I Frankenstein, speaking of that, not to interrupt it, but is I Frankenstein based on a comic or something?
I believe it's based on a novel. I want to say,
wasn't it?
Oh, is that who was Dean Koontz?
I think it's Dean Koontz, actually.
It was. I can look it up.
Well,
a bit.
Dean
I thought
Koontz
it was...
movies have always been successful.
Oh, you didn't like Watchers with Corey Feldman?
Oh man, that was fantastic. And I think there was one with what's her name, Daphne Zuniga, that appeared like Strangers or something like that. I think it was Strangers.
Oh,
so
just,
yeah, fantastic.
I'm totally wrong. It's not based on a Dean Koontz novel. So.
Oh, damn.
No. It's a James Michener, right?
Exactly.
Actually, I believe it's a Donald J. Sobel. Is it
Donald? Oh, nice.
Is it not Danielle Steele?
Right, well, I Frankenstein, yeah. If it wasn't PG-13, I might have a slight modicum of interest, because usually movies released in late January are bound to be excellent, I found, so...
It's not the book I was thinking of. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I'll just say I'm just tired of all these Apple products. Go on, Mac.
it's not the book I was thinking of either. It's based on a graphic novel and original screenplay by Kevin Graveau. So there you go.
All right.
Sure.
But yeah, so this History Channel thing, you know, it's just three old hour-long documentary. There's one is about the life of Mary Shelley. That was kind of interesting. There's one about all the Frankenstein movies that have been made, which for movie guys like us, it's nothing we haven't seen before. But the third one was really bad. It was about actual 19th century scientists who conducted Frankenstein-like experiments. And that should have been interesting, but the narrator just ruined it, because instead of just saying that, you know, Dr. So-and-so did an experiment where he sewed cadavers together, the narrator is like, you know, and then on one dark night, he did this, you know, terrifying experiment where he sewed these macabre bodies together. It's like, oh, shut up, narrator. You know, we get it already.
Yeah, right. Stop moralizing on me.
I know that cutting up dead bodies is gross. You don't need to tell me it's gross over and over.
Now, because it's History Channel, I assume they have one where Frankenstein flies World War II airplanes.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That'd be great.
Color footage of it and all.
let's see. For me, I got the Blu-ray version of Pride and Prejudice, the 95 BBC miniseries, which I like a lot. I like it a lot.
Those were all good productions. They did a bunch of those. But
I am into it. It's one of my wife's favorite things. Should we watch it? Way back when we were starting dating, I was like, oh, okay, I'll do this because we're dating. But man, it's pretty good.
It's gonna be like a second honeymoon for you guys.
Pretty much. So yeah, good stuff. Great looking Blu-ray. They actually did this right. So if
who are the stars of that one?
Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely, Ehle. So
gotcha.
They do some excellent work. So highly recommend that. So that is coming out soon. So with that being said, I don't think we have a new slate of new releases, so we'll just skip right to the ambush topic segment. Shall we? Does that sound good? Yes?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I know Daryl wasn't quite ready, but I'm going to put on the spot anyway because I've got nothing. So Daryl, go.
I basically had one just because I hurt my finger with some under-the-nail trauma earlier this week. No, it's not serious, just like a cut under the nail, but it hurts. Yeah. And so hand trauma.
Hand trauma.
Oh, not whiny. Mm. Okay, so hand trauma.
No, whining will be next week.
How about when that dickbag Superman returns to that diner in Metropolis with his power, and he goes and he restarts, repicks a fight with that goofy trucker, and the trucker winds up to punch him in the chest. And destroys his hand, correct?
That's true, yeah. He totally destroys his
hand. And actually, Superman 2 is an excellent movie for film trauma. I actually think it's pretty terrible, but as far as a film trauma, a hand trauma movie, remember, he snaps Zod's hand. He crunches it, right, before he throws him into the glacial depths. But it's nothing compared to just toying with that pathetic earthling.
On the old George Reeves show, he was always grabbing gangsters by their wrists and bending their hands back.
they just bend. Yeah, they go to their knees right away.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Ash cutting off his hand in Evil Dead 2.
Of course,
it's good. Dramatic.
Self-trauma. Self-imposed trauma.
I'm gonna go with RoboCop. Alex J. Murphy. Gets his hand shot off.
He does get his hand shot off.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
It was, actually. Yeah.
Back to me.
No, I've got one.
Gotcha.
In, I guess I'll go with one of the Saw movies. They did a gag where a guy had to stick his hand into the evil death machine so that enough blood would flow down into the bucket below so that the counterweight would open the door and let him out. And it, in the unrated version, it ended of a, with a shot with his hand like splitting in two. And that was too horrifying and shocking for general audiences, so they had to cut it and put it on the unrated DVD. Because I watched all the Saw movies last year, so I'm an expert now.
Very good. Very good. All right, so I've used this for other trauma experiences before. In Texas Chainsaw, or not Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in The Toxic Avenger, Toxie, in one of his first rampages at the fast food restaurant, takes one of the thugs and wraps his hands up in the fry baskets.
Yeah.
And dumps the hands into the fry oil and makes hand fries.
Hand fries, huh?
That's what I'm calling them. They're not really named in the movie.
Very nice.
That could have been a marketing opportunity, you know? It's like go to McDonald's and get some special, you know, hand fries
hand
to go with your burger.
It was the 80s. They weren't as big into that sort of stuff at that point.
I'll go next because I had one just occurred to me. It's in honor of Frozen Blocks of Ice. I think last week we did
people
Frozen in Ice.
Okay.
We did Frozen in Ice.
But this is just Blocks of Ice.
Blocks of Ice.
Blocks of Ice. Pieces of ice.
Something frozen.
So no one can be in the ice.
Okay. That is explicitly against the rules.
Okay. There's nothing in the ice. It's just
nothing in the ice. There's just ice. Blocks of Ice. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's this movie, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, which is a biopic of Bruce Lee, which is a movie that's at odds with itself because, like, Bruce Lee's real story is interesting and he had to struggle a lot before he became famous and that drama of the movie is good. But then when it turns into an action movie, it just becomes, like, cartoonishly ridiculous. And there's a scene where he's fighting a bunch of guys in I don't know, it's some kind of like factory or something. There's big blocks of ice hanging from hooks, and the bad guys keep pushing the blocks of ice along the hooks at him. And with each one, Bruce Lee punches the blocks of ice, and they shatter into hundreds of pieces. And they do this like five times in a row, so he can just smash up all the ice. And this is based on a true story movie.
Of course it is.
All right, well, inspired by Max, I'm going to go with Karate Kid Part 2.
And he took mine.
There you go, well.
That's a great one, though.
Sorry.
There's a playset. They had a playset too with him.
Oh yeah, that's right. They did.
All right, I'm going to go with the gigantic block of ice that the Titanic ran into in Titanic.
That's well played.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with, and this might be a stretch, but I'm pretty sure in Groundhog Day, isn't Bill Murray carving up some blocks of ice into ice sculptures at one point?
Yeah, ice sculpting, yeah.
Sure, good. And you might even call Andy McDowell a block of ice.
Oh, burn. He totally went there. Okay, I got a small block of ice, but in the opening of the movie Interspace, remember it was a close-up of ice molecules, and they zoom out, and it's an ice cube and Dennis Quaid's alcohol or something like that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Interspace. That on Blu-ray? Do we know?
I don't know. I'd like to see that again.
I watched that a lot when I was younger. That was.
I'd like to see how those effects look today. Probably bad, but
I don't know. Those all miniatures, though.
It's all miniatures.
It's all done practically.
But it's not like Dennis Quaid and Rick Moranis. No, was it Rick Moranis? Was it Martin Short?
You're thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kwaid.
Yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kwaid is a home movie, I heard.
Also involves ice, cold, very cold.
Right.
I could talk about Interspace all day, but we'll move on. Mac, go ahead.
Okay, next topic. Furniture that kills you.
Oh. I'm go back to the well with Willow when Bav Morda zaps it. End table with her wand that turns into this tentacle thing. So it's an unfortunate juxtaposition. You got Mad Morrigan battling General Kale in this knockdown, drag-out, brutal fight. And then you got Finn Rizal and Bav Morda just battling each other in a winner-take-all ultimate sorcerer's throwdown. And then Willow's, like, taking on a table, you know, with a stick. It's pretty terrible.
He wins, though. He pushes it
down the window. He does win. So but I could have killed him. There's a good chance I could have killed him, I think.
All right, so... Oh, go ahead.
Nice.
No, go ahead. You go first.
So I bought a DVD once based on the title and its quote-unquote lost status. And that movie is called Deathbed, the bed that eats. And it is one of the dumbest – and none of it's wrong. Like, it was a lost movie that is now found, but none of it should have happened. It's just a terrible movie about a deathbed that eats.
All right, thank you.
Isn't it like all trying to be artsy and stuff and philosophical while people are getting killed by the bed?
I don't think that I read a lot more philosophy into A Texas Chainsaw Massacre than I do into Deathbed. The director might have been trying to be artsy, but ultimately it's just like Herschel Gordon Lewis-style schlock. It's garbage. But, you know, it's
terrible. I'll raise my hand and admit that I've seen it too.
So it's terrible. But do you really think it's trying to be artsy?
It looks so slow. These people go into the empty house and they just walk around the house and they walk around and they walk around and then they find the bedroom. And so the one girl lies down in the bed and it eats her. And then it cuts to later and then there's more. Another person walks into the house and just walks around over and over and eventually, after several hours, lies down in the bed and then it eats that person. And it goes on like that. Yeah.
I guess you're right, but I guess that doesn't make it as much artsy as terrible.
That's I won't disagree.
Mac doesn't know art. He just knows what he hates.
I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they really were trying to do something, but good Lord, it's terrible. And I still have it. You know, you can't sell it. It's the bed that eats.
Part with it.
I'm going to go kind of a little bit of a loose one, but I'm going to go with The Iron Throne and Game of Thrones, both because at least in the book anyway, it's sharp, and if you can get cut easily by sitting on it, and those who I think who aren't worthy find themselves cut, and also because people who sit on the throne tend to die with frequency. So there you go.
Well, I'm going to go with the cinematic classic Home Alone 2. There's a point where Marv, the sticky bandit, he is in the basement of the house and he starts piling up furniture to get to the first floor. And more than once, it basically almost kills him. So
that's true. And that was the one with the pigeon lady, right?
It was.
Oh yeah,
it was great. Replacing the creepy old shovel man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of almost dying in that movie. A lot of almost dying, correct.
Yeah. I think I've seen that movie maybe more than any other movie.
All right. Truth comes out, finally.
It is true.
All right. It's called Having Cable. For mine, maybe this is cheating, but I went with the original Nightmare on Elm Street with Johnny Depp getting sucked into the bed by Freddy.
That's the famous
geyser of blood coming out of it.
It's an awesome scene.
And afterwards, the lengthy debates between me and my friends as to whether or not the human body has that much blood in it or not. I say that it was way too much blood. But my friends say, no, there really is that much blood inside it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with way too much. Rages on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with too much.
Yeah, go with too much. Okay, Jason?
All right, surprising casting choices that involve musicians. So basically a musician who's known for just making music who actually has a prominent role in a movie.
That's specific. All right.
I don't suppose Vanilla Ice's whole feature film counts, does it?
I think it does, actually.
I haven't seen it, though.
You guys can be loose with
it. Surprising in a lot of ways, yeah.
And you'd have to admit that you saw it.
That's true. I haven't seen it. I would happily admit it. I haven't seen it.
Okay. The terms of this topic are surprising casting choices.
You don't really expect to see a musician in that role, but you know, this is so specific that
it's okay.
In movies if you want.
I'm gonna go with David Bowie as Pontius Pilate in Last Temptation of Christ.
That's a good choice.
Really good one.
That's top choice.
I'm just leave it at that. I'm gonna just put that on the table and let it go because. I don't think there's anything more to add.
I have something to add.
Oh, yeah.
That, I think, is whatever I may think about the movie itself, maybe the most dumbest stunt castest movies ever put in, into production.
I think that's probably pretty accurate. Like, I think there's some, I think there's considerable merit to the movie, but Harvey Keitel as Judas is the
worst. Yeah, Harvey Keitel as Judas. I actually have a long-standing rant impersonating him with my brother that is not for this podcast.
Yeah, it's the
worst. I assure you, is filthy and hilarious.
Okay, I appreciate. I hope it. I hope it takes it to task for a Brooklyn-accented Judas Iscariot.
It involves cannoli and a whole bunch of other things.
All right.
And so, yes, it's very specific to New York. Martin Scorsese's New York in Nazareth. And it has never annoyed me. A few things have ever annoyed me more than the casting in that movie.
That was pretty stuntacular.
Oh, my God.
Well, Dave, I also had a David Bowie pick.
You did? All right.
Which was, I guess he's done a lot of acting, but the one that really takes the cake is, well, maybe not. I don't know. The one that comes to mind is his role as Philip Jeffries in Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah.
He's so just completely alien in that movie, and he's so bizarre. And he doesn't need makeup or crazy hair or anything monstrous. He's just doing his David Bowie thing, and that's enough to make him the strangest thing in a David Lynch movie.
Yeah, he's mostly just walking down the hallway is mostly his whole role, and
yes,
one of the more memorable scenes in the whole movie. I like that movie a lot, but yeah, he's fantastic doing David Bowie. Nobody's doing David Bowie.
Yeah, he walks down the hallway, and then there's the bit in the office where he says, "We're not going to talk about Judy." And then there's a bunch of crazy flashing lights, and that's pretty much all we know about Agent Philip Jeffries.
Yeah, he's mentioned a few times, but it's about 45 seconds of screen time.
Do we have any non-David Bowie options?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Labyrinth.
No, I mean, I do. It's not ever surprising. He's quite good in the role, but Paul Simon and Annie Hall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And my backup was Billy Idol and The Wedding Singer. So he's. That's it. I don't know. I know there are better ones out there. I can't think of them right now.
Oh, those are great ones. Those are great ones.
There you go.
Thanks.
Positive reinforcement.
Oh, this is great.
Podcast is a lot of virtual high five.
First time I think positive reinforcement has actually been expressed.
That's true.
I'm a positive guy.
Daryl, that's how you do it. Okay?
That's okay. I'm never going to learn that. So I'll just accept that it happened and move on. And I'm going to move on with Dwight Yoakam in his star turn in Sling Blade. Abusive dad, and he's since gone on and done a lot of really good turns in stuff like Crank, which is ridiculous but hilarious, and a whole bunch of stuff. Directed South of Heaven, West of Hell 15 years ago. That was a really weird western, but that really surprised me at the time to see him in there.
Right, and I'm going to go with, and this role actually was what got me thinking about this topic. In the movie Die Hard with a Vengeance, the singer-songwriter Sam Phillips plays the mute, blonde, terrorist assassin, which is one of those, like, I'm actually a fan of her music, but I didn't really put two and two together until a couple years ago, and thought, whoa.
That's really odd.
Yeah, and I think that's the only role she's ever been in, so.
She did it well.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty creepy.
Very creepy. Oh, good one. Wow, I like Die Hard trivia. That's good. Are you a Die Hard with a Vengeance fan, Jason, by any chance?
You know, I wasn't when I was younger, but I definitely appreciate it a lot.
Have you seen the alternate ending, the original ending?
No, but I've read about it.
Greatest alternate ending ever I've seen. I'll just leave it at that. So great.
Awesome.
So great. You can probably find it on YouTube. Whatever. All right, Eric, take us away.
All right. Scenes that overshadow the movie they're in.
Clever.
Whether in conversation, in popular culture, in whatever.
Yeah. You almost don't remember the movie, but you remember the scene.
Sure.
That's a pretty rich topic, I think.
Oh, yeah.
If I think about it.
Compelling and rich, I would say.
Compelling and rich.
Because you go a lot of routes with that.
Take it where you will.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Okay. In lieu of actually settling on something and not causing dead air at the end of this whole thing, I'm going to go with the entire body of work of Lucio Fulci.
Of course you are.
Italian horror, not just horror, but specifically horror director who has things like Zombie versus Shark Fight and a bat biting a hand and the guy trying to get it off, the bat off his hand and smashing it, only to spray blood all over his son. And there's all these scenes that are amazingly violent and hilarious. And if you're an Italian horror fan, are gloriously terribly disgusting. But the movies, every single one of them, almost to a T, are god awful.
All right.
And you really can't, you cannot objectively defend them except to say Zombie versus Shark Fight.
You know, you're right, because I've seen Zombie, and that's the only thing I remember besides the wood splinter in the dude's face.
Yeah, there's little things. The dude, the splinter in the face.
I don't remember anything about the plot, story, characters. I remember nothing.
Who cares? Nobody cares. He's not a great director. He's really, really, really excessive. And I'm okay with that. I'm reviewing a Fulci movie this week, and I'm looking forward to some excessive business.
All right. Okay.
I guess for me, it would be, scenes that are, so well-known that they kind of eclipse the movie, and the great granddaddy of that has got to be the shower scene in Psycho, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People who've never seen Psycho before, they know the shower scene because it's just everywhere.
There's a lot of people who say they've seen Psycho because they've seen the shower scene.
Probably, yeah. And, I've always wondered, just imagine going back to 1960 or whenever it was and, seeing it with people who had no idea what they're in for.
Yeah,
the whole first part of the movie is like this heist movie where the secretary steals this money. She's on the run. Then she gets to the hotel and then the whole movie just takes this huge turn with the shower scene.
It's left field.
People seeing this in the theaters at the first time, they must have had no idea what they were getting in for. So
you get that scene, and then it goes into all the edible business and the other people coming to find her. It's all left field. I can't imagine.
All right, so it's me and Jason. Jason, you got anything cooking? Or are you still
I'm struggling between a couple here. So you go ahead.
I have nothing super great, but I guess so. Obviously, it was the second biggest grocery movie of all time. So I don't know if anything really eclipses it. But don't you think the "I'm the King of the World" shtick has kind of eclipsed Titanic as a whole? hasn't that become a pop culture meme? So that's just I don't know. Do people remember the plot of that movie really? Really think hard about it.
Daryl does. I think it was an answer to one of his.
That's right.
It was a block of ice.
I remember
block of ice.
Titanic now.
Block of ice and
something
happened. Kate Winslet. I think it's
kind of Thomas Kate Winslet. dancing on the
painting. Not enough boats and an old lady.
An old lady,
who apparently imagined the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, lied about it, right?
Totally lied about it.
Yeah. That old lady, she's just a liar, right?
She had the necklace at the end. She threw it into the water.
That's right. As Seinfeld definitely put it. And a bit of a tramp, if you ask me.
That's exactly how I feel about Titanic.
I think I'm going to go with, and I'm going to define this as, I think the same way Mac did, where the scene itself people know, but the movie, has kind of drifted a little bit. But When Harry Met Sally, which I still don't think I've seen the whole movie, but I know that famous restaurant scene with the "I'll have what she's having" punchline. Mm-hmm. I still hear that referenced all the time, but, I don't see a lot of people talking about the movie.
No, there's good reason.
It's a good movie. What, you don't like that movie?
I don't really like that movie.
I haven't seen it in a decade, but I'm sure it was good.
I never really did. So
not enough. There's not a lot of gore. I mean, to be fair, it's not a lot of blood.
There aren't any black gloved killers. There aren't.
You haven't seen the director's cut. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's because that whole scene ends differently. Somebody in the kitchen that you'd never expect.
All right.
Back to me. Yeah. Or two.
Yeah,
many.
I think.
Well, this is. It's too soon to tell what the movie will be remembered for, but I reviewed Captain Phillips last week, And there was a lot of talk when the Oscar nominations came out, why didn't Tom Hanks get a nomination? And I think a lot of people say that. I think he's very good in the movie, but a lot of it, people say it because of essentially the last scene in the movie, which comes up a lot when you talk to people about the movie. And I don't say what it is, but it's so striking and powerful that it does kind of leave you remembering that scene and kind of overshadowing some of the stuff that came before it. So that was my answer.
All right. So watch Captain Phillips, and you will be able to decipher this Friday filibuster.
There you go. Yeah, backup was Sharon Stone's interrogation.
Basically. That's true. No, absolutely. How about Soylent Green? Like the whole it's made a punchline.
The ending is the only thing anybody remembers.
Yeah.
Does anyone else remember? What sure more, this is what they do for the rest of that movie. They just sit around drinking milkshakes and so on. Is it out?
Soylent Green milkshakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Fire in the Sky. Remember the D.B. Sweeney alien abduction movie? You know, like it was all about that one sequence where he goes up in the spaceship or whatever in 15 minutes. And even now, I've seen the movie. I can't remember how they killed time for the rest of that movie.
He deals with it, and it's really not very interesting.
Okay.
It's the alien abduction happens early on.
It happens after that. The abduction happens, but like you don't get like his full experience until later in the movie. Like he'll get flashes. He gets abducted, right? And he's like all
long stretches of absolutely nothing.
That's right. And a lot of talking amongst loggers.
Yeah, talking, driving a tractor.
And the alien, and then there's like a 15.
It's like a
minute.
Russian movie, but with aliens, and you know that's fine on a certain level, but not so.
No, I don't want to
be entertaining. I guess that's a whole other topic, as movies that fizzle after the first, 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, never take notes for a future.
I'll save that. That's going to be my topic next week, but it's totally different than my topic this week, just like ice cubes.
That's right. Got a lot of mileage on the ice cubes one. I just want to talk about Karate Kid 2, but you deprived me of that.
So, I'm sorry. You can talk about it.
Yeah, maybe next week.
I mean, what's
favorite Karate Kid?
Is there a scene in Karate Kid 2 that overshadows the rest of the movie?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I guess the Peter Cetera song, but is there a
good one? Yeah, Emma's topic next week. Kids who do karate. Okay, that's it. Thank you, everyone here. I'm not going to bother naming everybody. It's a good group. But Mac, why don't you take us away?
We're not going to talk about Judy.